Yeah, we got the World Cup going on now. Brazil, Switzerland. Man, I'm rooting
good
for
matchup.
I'm rooting for Switzerland here. Apparently, Andy's just
a
Brazil guy.
No, I'm a big Brazil
Apparently,
guy.
Apparently, Andy doesn't
year.
Even like America. He's just like, I'm rooting for Brazil to win the World Cup.
No,
just un-American.
Outside of America, I'm going for Brazil.
There is no outside of America. We're just gonna win it. We're gonna win this sport that they made up. They've been playing forever, and we're gonna win it.
Brazil's jerseys.
We're gonna make sure they know it's soccer.
Iconic.
I don't even like their jerseys.
Sick. They're just the colors. Just classic. Classic.
Now, Switzerland. Those are some iconic jerseys.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
World Cup.
Man, hour two. Let's get things underway with a little bit of an opening drive. Sam, hit the music. All righty, first down. Some very, very exciting news this morning. As in college basketball, we're going to have a schedule shakeup starting in 2023-2024. The Big 12 SEC Challenge. No more. This will be the last year. And after 23 years, the Big 10 ACC Challenge is also no more.
See ya.
As we have started a new challenge. The SEC ACC Challenge for both men's and women's basketball will begin in 2023-2024. Man, even for women's basketball, it's going to create some really good matchups between those two conferences. But I am thrilled. This has me so, so excited. I want Duke so bad.
I mean, we were talking about it. Like, when was the last time Tennessee played Duke? Forever.
I don't know, ever.
Forever ago.
Have we ever
like
played
70s,
in Cameron Indoor?
Not in a while. I mean, I think before, but it's not in our lifetime.
Like, just the possibilities that this creates. To see, like, Tennessee up in the Carrier Dome, or to see Tennessee up in Cameron Indoor.
Yeah, so
like,
fun.
We've seen already, like, a home and home in North
UNC,
Carolina,
yeah.
But, like,
that was fun,
those
though.
Are the,
was
yeah,
really
it was really fun.
Fun.
And I think the one that really excites me, though, is the possibility of playing Duke and the possibility of, I mean, I guess, what else?
Virginia.
Virginia could be
fun.
We
played Virginia recently.
Virginia could be a lot of fun, though. I want Duke really bad. And I imagine, given Tennessee's, you know, recent basketball success, you'll probably see him get Duke sooner rather than later.
Yeah. I mean,
is there any chance that we don't get Duke Kentucky year one?
Do what?
Is there any chance that we don't get Duke and Kentucky year one? I feel like right off the bat, they're just going to give us Duke Kentucky.
Well, Duke and Kentucky already play each other like once every other year in that little, you know,
do they? I
group
feel like
of
they
four thing at the beginning of the season. They rotate. Yeah, it's Kentucky,
Champions
Michigan
Classic.
State, Kansas,
but to give,
and Duke.
I don't
so
know,
it's
I just
like,
to,
I feel like they
them
already
home
play
home,
each other.
Though, given the hatred that's
But they're already going to play each other on a neutral court like every other 3 years. So I feel like you switched up.
I just really love teams. Like, I love when high major basketball teams play each other at home, like in their own buildings.
I mean, we already got.
You don't get to see a ton of it, and there are some really great environments in college basketball.
We
like,
are.
I'm really excited to see like Tennessee play in Arizona's environment. Like,
yeah.
But some of the matchups and environments that this can create are, gosh, they're exciting. I know the ACC's down a little bit right now. Hopefully they.
Well, but still,
back.
The ACC is like the classic basketball conference,
right.
And like the fact that the SEC is now, you know, with them in a tournament, like that speaks volumes to where the SEC has grown as a basketball conference. Like you think back to like 15 years ago, SEC was so irrelevant in terms of like a top two basketball conference. I'd say the SEC is now right up there with any other conference. Like it's a true SEC's in there now. Like you've got good teams across the board. Pairing up with the ACC is going to be really fun.
Also, hey, no more four teams getting left out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually going to be one ACC
Everyone's
team
involved.
Getting left out because there's 15 in the ACC with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So I guess it'll probably just be Boston College getting left out every year. They are tough to watch.
Ooh, yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we already got an ACC-SEC Classic last night, UNC-Alabama, four overtimes.
Right, you get matchups like, I mean, yeah, it's going to be a blast.
Good
I guess
sign.
We also get the possibility of Duke and Kentucky and like Louisville playing home and homes. Except, do they already play home and home, or do they?
Kentucky and Louisville play each other.
They
every
play
year.
Each other, but do they switch up where it's at, or do they play neutral site?
Yeah, no, they go okay. Kentucky then Louisville every single year. So that's
for some reason part of me thought Louisville that was always
though.
Played
have you
site.
Seen Louisville this year? Have they won a game yet?
They need to stop playing basketball.
Have they won a single game?
No, they haven't. They have not won a single game. But did you see the halftime score that they had against Tech? They scored 13 points in the first half against Texas Tech.
They got beat
70-38. Yeah. Cincinnati whooped up on them. Arkansas whooped up on them. And then
Wright State beat them.
Bellarmine.
Oh.
Kenny Payne. I don't know if he's going to get time or not.
I mean, this is a historic Louisville
like
basketball
the way, yeah,
program.
Like the way that things are going, like I really don't know if they're going to give Kenny Payne time or not.
That's crazy.
Brandon Huntley Hatfield looking like
I feel
we
bad.
We let him
for
walk
him.
For a reason.
I know, but I hate that that's the situation he's in now.
I don't.
Yeah, they lose 3 1-point games against like non-conference teams, basically to not non-conference, but just like
mid majors
to start the year, and then they just keep getting blown out, absolutely destroyed. Maryland's gonna whoop up on them too.
Oh, is that tonight?
That is tomorrow.
Tomorrow night. Okay. Andy, second down.
You took mine, but. I mean, since we haven't really talked about it yet, I just wanted to talk more about Tennessee winning the battle for Atlantis.
We'll jump into that jump next into that. Segment. Yeah, we'll talk full on battle for Atlantis all next right. segment.
I'll pick another one then. Man, I don't even know where to go now. You took mine. That was the big news from the morning. Just college football. College football.
You say you can go OBJ.
Well, I was gonna save that for my ugly, but sure.
You know, okay, fine. Save it.
See, that's the thing about Mondays is like we've got so many news segments, so many things. But I was gonna go the game of the year in quotation marks. Ohio State Michigan ended up in pure Wolverine domination. Ohio State. Took a loss. CJ Stroud threw a tough interception late. Michigan's ground game was going. I don't know where this leaves the playoff battle. LSU losing to Texas A&M. I feel like we missed so much of college football in the last week. One, just how close TCU was to losing the week prior. And then, Michigan almost lost the week prior earlier. But it feels like now TCU might be a lock. My second down is just a college football update for you.
It is weird that like we got with all the chaos that we got, it feels like it hasn't necessarily affected the top four as much. Like now we just have a pretty solidified top four. Brazil making a run out of bounds. Out of play. Rick Carlison. I do like him. He's an Evertonian.
No, or he's was. At Tottenham now.
Well, he was.
He had a sweet goal on Thanksgiving.
Actually, you know what? I don't like him anymore. Now that he's not, now he doesn't play for Everton.
Yeah, no, he doesn't anymore at all. But
dang,
he's got Evertonian roots.
He was also just like always pretty frustrating when he played for Everton. Yeah. Third down, Josh Jacobs just went stupid yesterday.
See, I was gonna use that for my good.
I'm just taking everything from you. 303 yards from scrimmage, 229 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 6 catches for 74 yards. 48.3 fantasy points and a walk-off touchdown of 86 yards that most of America didn't get to see because CBS refused to switch it off 60 minutes and Red Zone couldn't show a standalone game. But Josh Jacobs took it 86 yards to the house. The poor Seahawks, man. I'm so mad. I want them to win that division so bad. I love Geno Smith and the Seahawks team, but Josh Jacobs just going crazy yesterday. He's part of what's going to be just a crazy free agent class for running backs in 2023. Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, Tony Pollard, David Montgomery, Kareem Hunt, Jamal Williams, Jeff Wilson Jr., Damian Harris, Rashad Penny, Raheem Mostert. All of those guys in the free agent class this upcoming year, that's going to be wild. But Andy, fourth down. We've been away for a week.
FIFA.
And we've missed the World Cup in that time. So I need to know, as our official World Cup correspondent, Andy Brock, what have we been missing?
Oh, we've been missing a lot. Let's get the tables up. Qatar, the host site for the FIFA World Cup, they become the second ever host nation to be eliminated and not even make it to the group stage.
Losers.
Tough. They host the whole
thing. Hold that L, baby.
They host the entire thing. They lose to Ecuador right off the bat. They get embarrassed again in their next game. And just like that, they are out of the tournament. And sad for them. I don't really know. I've seen videos of like people there. I'm getting like hit or miss feels from how this, you know, World Cup is being hosted. Like some people look like they're enjoying themselves. Some people are still like, this is weird. Like this is not good. All the stadiums are right in the same area, so some people are even like going to every single game in a day. But yeah, Qatar, they're not gonna make it. Netherlands and Ecuador and Senegal are gonna be battling it out in Group A. That is tomorrow, I believe. You'll get the end of that group. African nations also have been doing really good. Senegal has 3 points. I mean, you go down the list, Tunisia might be out of it, but Morocco's got 4 points. Cameroon, they just got a big result today, a nice tie. Ghana won today, so African nations are doing well after none of them advanced in 2018. Again, this next week, everything's going to be decided for who goes to the knockout round. We saw an amazing battle between the USA and England on Friday. Did you watch that, Charlie?
I did.
Yeah.
I watched that poolside in the Bahamas.
Let's go. USA wins on a 0-0 draw. England was a heavy favorite.
Honestly, that game just kind of reminded me, like, why soccer hasn't fully caught on.
That was an entertaining 0-0 draw, though. Like, it was entertaining.
I just think that it's hard to fully get people into soccer when you're just like, yeah, great 0-0 tie. Like, I just think the way that, like, our sports brains have been wired.
There's been a lot.
It's hard to get into. Like, it's hard to get fired up for a 0-0
there
draw.
There has been
a lot.
I mean,
I understand how good it is. I was excited about it.
There's been a lot of 0-0 draws, I will say. A
lot of draws. I've been betting draws. Just draw.
It's unfortunate. So U.S. has to beat Iran on Tuesday. A lot of controversy with this game already.
How come?
That's going to be my ugly. You have to stay tuned.
So just everything is in your good, bad,
everything's
ugly.
In my... Fine, we'll go ahead and talk about USA.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'll hear it in your ugly. I'm excited now. We'll give the people something to wait for.
You just got to wait in here. But that game is intense. Winner goes on. After USA, a dramatic draw with England. USA should have beaten Wales, but Gareth Bale came to play and made a penalty.
We should have beaten the U.S. We should have beaten England, too, if Pulisic just got hit that one like a good foot lower.
Yeah, that was a crazy shot, though. That
hit the crossbar.
That was crazy. USA looked really good against England, though. Group C in the wee hours of the morning on fixture day one, Argentina was upset by Saudi Arabia.
That was a funny
out of
wake up
nowhere, to. Just beat Messi, devastated. Except then he did Messi things 2 days ago when he beat Mexico. So that group's going to come down to the wire. Mexico not in a good spot to advance to the knockout round. Tough for North America, because Canada in Group F already eliminated. Canada is one of two teams gone. Goodbye, Canada. In Group D, France has already advanced. France, the defending champs, they're in a really good spot. Spain looks scary. They beat Costa Rica 7-0. So watch out for Spain. And then Brazil right now and Switzerland. Winner of this is going to be into the next round. So keep your eyes on that one. And then Portugal. And Cristiano Ronaldo in a good spot. I think the world wants to see Cristiano Ronaldo play Messi in a final.
I don't think the world wants that.
I think the world wants that.
I want to see both of them get eliminated before advancing into the round of 16.
It might happen with Argentina. Portugal is in a good spot. I think they play later today.
Yeah, that's the refs. Good old Pinaldo.
Pinaldo. That was a tough call. That was tough. They I like stole it. I think Portugal is my they're my third team in this World Cup.
You're an annoying soccer fan.
No, I like the classics.
You just like, you like the good teams with the good players?
Yeah, they're fun. Fun to watch. I don't like all the good teams with the good players, but you gotta have some.
If it's not America winning, then I don't care. But if it's not America winning and someone else has to win,
you know,
I
want America to win too, but they're not. Like, they're gonna go, I mean, I hope they go to the knockout round
we are.
And be competitive.
We're just gonna win.
I hope so.
We're going to draw our way to a championship.
I hope so.
We're going to finish every game and every added time 0-0. And
I hope
we're
so.
We're going to just win every game in penalties just to really make it a funny one that our soccer calling country just tied their way to a World Cup final.
All this to say, watch the FIFA World Cup because it's only on for about a couple weeks more.
Yeah, how quickly does this thing like get wrapped up?
It's been a week.
Once we get into the 16.
It's been a week, and we're almost out, almost to the group of round of 16, and then that goes through in like a week as well. It just goes so fast.
Well, we will get daily updates from our World Cup.
Yeah, like we'll have more accurate updates once you know you don't have like.
Well, it'll be daily.
20 games to try to recap.
Every day will be Andy Brock's World Cup.
FIFA World Cup recap. Also. If you can watch the highlights of Peter Drury calling the action, then watch that.
I might.
You should. Watch Peter Drury's call of Messi scoring the other day. It gives you chills.
Well, there's your World Cup update. We'll catch a break. We'll talk about the Vols in Atlantis. What a weekend it was for them. Rick Barnes and the boys down in the Bahamas. Stay with us here on The Blitz.
Never knew that I could feel this much, but this yearning.
Back here on the Blitz, and we'll pause for now, and instead we'll head over to the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We got a call from Matthew. Matthew on the line. Matthew, happy Monday. Good to hear from you. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. How are you doing today?
I'm good, buddy. It feels like a rebaptism. I took not to bring up the old past, but guys, I deleted a lot of social media. I disconnected my phone after the Carolina game.
Yeah, I turned my phone off, just completely off, for about 30 hours, probably a little bit longer than that. And then just, I was fortunate enough to be in the Bahamas for a week watching college basketball, and it felt like a good reset. It felt very strange this morning coming in here and like, oh man, it's time to finally talk about the thing that you've been trying to ignore for the last 8 days now. I don't know. I feel a little rusty.
Well, we can actually talk about it because it's crazy. Andy, Sam, I didn't realize how much we, as millennials, we run on social media. I felt totally disconnected from what was going on in Tennessee athletics. I spent the holidays up in Canada doing some duck hunting, which I highly recommend, but I truly had no idea. I check my phone every now and then, and I see, oh, Tennessee beat Baylor. Okay, not bad. Oh, Tennessee beat USC. Very nice. Oh, Tennessee beat Kansas. And that's when I was like, all right, on Monday, I'm re-downloading it. I'm getting back on the app. I see Nick Saban's gotten hit in the face and is bleeding. It's like, without context, I'm like, what is going on in the sports world?
So, did you not watch any Tennessee basketball in the Bahamas?
Charlie, this is how much I watched. I did not know that Santi had gone 1-for-8 versus USC until about 2 hours ago.
Oh, Matthew, that was a mistake. It was
I know.
It was such a good palate cleanser to just watch high-level college basketball.
Oh, I heard you were a big star on the stage. I heard you had a few shout-outs on the TV.
Yeah, they finally found me the last night and just threw me up there a couple times. But it was nice. I was happy looking. I was smiling, which is new. Usually they find me right after my soul got ripped out of my body. So I don't know. It felt good. It was really cool.
I've always wondered how they set up the ballroom and they have the games being played. Did it feel like when you were there, did it feel small? Did it feel like you could almost, it looked like you could almost reach out and touch some of the players. And I was curious, when you looked up at the ceiling, like, did you ever feel like if you have somebody that has a higher arc shot, did you feel like it was going to hit the ceiling?
So I will say the ceiling, not as low as that seems. Like it felt like those guys had plenty of room for their shots. Like that didn't really, you know, feel like it was that big of a deal, but just did it feel small? Absolutely. It felt very intimate. You know, you could look across the court and just like wave to somebody on the other side. Like you were right there next to the players. You could hear their conversations on the bench. Like they could hear you. Jalen Wilson could hear you specifically. the referees can hear you. I mean, just to like kind of put it in perspective of how like different and small it kind of really is. Like 10 minutes before Kansas and Tennessee tipped off, I went to go like use the bathroom, and just also in the bathroom is Santiago Vescovi and Jalen Wilson, just like the two best players of either team. And it's just like, oh yeah, like fans and players are all just kind of together in one environment. It's unlike anything I've ever experienced before, and it was everything I've always wanted. I've been obsessed with that tournament since the day they started playing it. Just absolutely obsessed with it. It's one of my favorite things in all of sports. So to like see it in person was crazy.
That's awesome, man. I'm quite jealous. I needed, honestly, it was a good healthy disconnect. I needed to kind of just recharge my emotional battery after the heartbreak we had 2 weeks ago, and just needed to kind of reestablish who I am. But that's awesome that you had a great time. I actually have a funny encounter from a buddy of mine who was there with you. He apparently was wearing, I guess, like a Tennessee Santiago jersey or something, and Santiago Vescovi walks past him and says, "Cool shirt, bro." And I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, no, actually, I think I met a couple people that listened to the station down there, so it was really cool to kind of like meet some of those people too. But there were a lot. I mean, there was a good group of Tennessee fans, and you know, it was what was really nice is that you kind of get the feel that you get at the NCAA tournament with a bunch of different fans, kind of that you don't normally interact with, kind of coming together in one place and all the teams, but you don't have the same hostility. You know, there's a general friendliness between everybody because it's not win or go home basketball. It's not like, hey, our teams are going to try to end each other's season tomorrow necessarily. You know, it's, hey, some teams you might not even play, but we're all just having a good time here in the Bahamas. And I think even really outside of the games, like the players got along, you know, you got to see different teams interacting with each other. I mean, really everywhere you went, you just always kind of saw basketball players like walking through the casinos, walking through the lobbies and the restaurants and the buffets, and you know, you got to see coaches and like refs and the ESPN personalities too. It was just all very kind of intimate and really just, I mean, an indescribable experience almost.
Well, I'm happy for you, and I'm hoping that we can get, who went to the LSU game? Was it Andy? Did you go to the LSU game?
Sam.
I went to the LSU game, yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully we can have one of y'all. I know we've got an interesting weekend of, you know, conference championship matchups, but hopefully between the three of you, one of y'all can come down to Dallas if we get that Cotton Bowl. But I'll hang up here, guys. I'm glad y'all had fun, Charlie. I've got a big present for me on Sunday. My girlfriend got me lower level Colts Cowboys tickets for my birthday, so we're going to go enjoy that game. It's going to be an absolute butt whooping for my Colts, but you know what? I'm still on the Jeff Saturday wagon. We got Monday Night Football tonight. I got Colts 24, Steelers 17. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Matthew. Good to hear from you as always.
The boys.
If the Vols are down there in Dallas, I would totally go. I'm going to make an effort to go to a bowl game. I don't really know if I'll be able to get to them. I don't know how the travel is
looking. I would love to go to the Cotton Bowl. That would be fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to make an effort. And if you're in the Cotton Bowl, that means you're playing a group of six opponents, so I think that's probably an easier one to travel to.
That's like what?
It's only really like one fan base.
Tulane?
Majorly competing. It'll be the winner of Tulane and UCF.
Yeah.
So there is a decent chance.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
just put the pieces together on that.
I don't think you end up in the Cotton Bowl at this point just because of some of the chaos. I think that's Orange a possibility, Bowl. But I think it's more likely that you're in the Sugar Bowl or the Orange Bowl, which, man, again, so much happened that it's like we don't really have time to get into this.
Where's
right
the Orange
now.
Bowl at right now? Is it Miami still?
Ooh. So we'll tomorrow, the day that the college football playoff rankings come out, we'll really kind of dive into that because let me tell you what, I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I have a lot of built-up frustration
so much going on for these rankings.
And I have
one thing at a time
to say. But we'll get into that tomorrow. We'll talk Tennessee basketball a little bit more tomorrow, too, because I really do want to get into Atlantis.
Too.
And I just want to, you know, kind of tell some stories, too.
Yeah.
But you only get 2 hours, and when you miss what's one of the biggest sports weeks of the year,
there's
a lot to kind of catch up on. We'll play the good, the bad, or the ugly on the other side. Stay with us on the Blitz. All right, it's time to play the good, the bad, and the ugly. 11:37 on a Monday. It's been a while. Certainly got a lot to choose from. What is the good from the weekend, Sam?
My good, South Carolina walks into Death Valley, snaps Clemson's 40-game home win streak, the longest in the country. You know, after Tennessee dropped that game to South Carolina and fell out of the playoff, you kind of wanted some chaos. At least I did. And, you know, Dabo was kind of talking some trash about Tennessee the week before, saying that, you know, we were celebrating our season too early. We thought we had already had made it big, and looks like Clemson did the exact same thing. So it was fun to see USC storm an opposing field too. I know Charlie.
That was crazy.
That was maybe my favorite thing that's ever happened.
Yeah,
I mean, certainly it
really backfired. The whole thing where hey, everyone goes on the field after every game really backfires on you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, certainly probably not something that needs to continue to happen.
No.
But it's also something I hope continues to happen.
No,
I hope that South Carolina just like started a new trend. Like, could you imagine
opposing
if, like,
fans storming
could
opposing
you imagine
fields?
If like the Michigan fans stormed Ohio State's
oh,
field?
Oh, that
after
would be
that
so
game?
Bad.
So many bad things would happen, but I am kind of all for it. Man. that was awesome.
Next level.
I have nothing but respect for you, South Carolina fans.
Yep.
Nothing else we can really say.
Yep.
You whooped our butt, and then you did something cool. Andy, the good.
The good, the NFC East, as always, the best division in football, in NFL football. Correct? Across the room? Huh?
They are all in the playoffs right now.
Every team is two games over 500.
We'll see.
Yeah. The Cowboys, big win over the Giants on Thanksgiving. CeeDee Lamb went crazy. He caught a one-handed touchdown catch that somehow wasn't a touchdown, but also was making other one-handed catches. You had a guy, a tight end with the last name Ferguson, hurdling people. I mean, that should never happen. Your backup tight end should never be hurdling people. I guess you could say congrats to the Giants for only letting the Cowboys sack Daniel Jones three times, so that was a lot less than maybe anticipated. The Commanders beat the Falcons yesterday to improve to 7-5. Another win for the Washington Commanders. Brian Robinson wore a massive hat after the game. That was really cool.
He's just got a big hat.
He's got a big hat. So
I need to know so much more about that.
The Commanders are now
big hats
on the up
thing?
And up.
Are more
no
people
way
gonna be wearing big hats?
But that
it
was
so absurd. But I loved it.
I thought that was an edit. Like it was like a meme.
And and like the quote too. Just like
my friend makes big hats.
I'm trying to support my guy.
Kind of looked good on him.
It kind of did. I liked it. And then
like, nothing would make me happier than if this just turns into like a new trend where people are just wearing big hats.
And then the Eagles just dominated the Packers offensively. Jalen Hurts had 157 rushing yards, most ever by Eagles quarterback. It was the most rushing yards Eagles had in a game since 1948. 363, one more yard than Tennessee had against Vanderbilt.
What's the Commanders' next game? The Giants? I need...
The Giants are crumbling, I will say.
They're playing in New York. I need Taylor Heineke on a flight back from New York. I guess they might take a bus, honestly, but I need him on a flight back from New York and a big hat, shirtless with chains on, drinking Bush Lights out of trash cans. That's
the Giants are in crumble mode.
Should we add that to the wheel? Maybe like you got to order a big hat and like wear it around for like a week.
Big hat.
How do you even get that? Brian Robinson needs to drop the link.
We'll figure it out.
Incredible scenes in the NFC East. Just gotta say,
my good. Well, it's the career of one David Shaw. David Shaw stepping down as Stanford's head coach after a 3-9 season, and I mean, just all across the college football, just one of the most respected guys in the industry, in the business. Fantastic guy, did amazing things with Stanford football, won three Pac-12 titles, was the Pac-12 coach of the year four times, went to the Rose Bowl, I think won a Rose Bowl. I mean, just did some incredible things, and you know, a man of value, ethics. Not really anyone that has anything bad to say about him. And things have kind of gotten away from him by no fault of his own at Stanford. I don't know if he'll continue to coach college football or not, honestly. Given the way that it's you know, ethics and everything else have kind of gone by the wayside, he might just simply want to be done. Maybe he wants to go be a defensive coordinator somewhere. I think he'd also make a good head coach pretty much anywhere. If he wants to be a defensive coordinator, then him and Jim Leonard are both about to get paid about $1 million.
I feel like he's going to be like a TV analyst.
$2 million
now.
But yeah, I think David Shaw, maybe he will just be a TV analyst. I don't know. But it's just, it's so tough at this point, especially now in the new era of with
NIL and everything.
NIL with the transfer portal. Like, you're trying to make sure that your seniors can get into grad school so you can have them on your football team. And like, other teams are worried about trying to outbid each other for some guy in the portal. Like, that's just not the same situation. That's such a tough situation to be successful in.
It's a tough sell for Stanford now. A little bit more in the current landscape of football, I feel like.
Sam, your bad from the weekend.
My bad from the weekend is football coaches getting hit by their players. Nick Saban in the Iron Bowl gets hit by a shoulder pad, he said, and you know, he's doing halftime interviews and post-game interviews with blood all over his face.
Yeah, I missed all of that. I was flying all day Saturday, basically. It was a weird thing to just, like, land and, like, oh, yeah, Nick Saban's bleeding.
I couldn't find a video of how it happened, but wild. And then yesterday, I don't know if you saw in the Rams game, Sean McVay got absolutely destroyed by one of his players. He's like,
thanks.
He's coming.
He did
on,
get hit hard.
Yeah, he's subbing into the game, and this guy is running onto the field, and McVay's kind of walking down the sideline, and he just gets a shoulder straight to the ear.
I mean, yeah,
it looked like he needed to go into concussion
in the protocol. Yeah,
he needed to go to the blue tent.
Shoo.
That's my bad though. Coach is getting
it's bad.
Hit like Ray Lewis across the middle.
Andy, your bad.
My bad. Odell Beckham Jr. getting taken off the plane. Yeah, yesterday, over a health concern, over his health concern that he refused to get off the plane. So here's the situation. It happened in Miami. Apparently, according to the flight attendant, he was in and out of consciousness. Now that makes it sound like, I guess, he was, you know, on something. Maybe he
popped his hand 13 hours till he lands.
But he could have just been sleeping. Like, he could have just been sleeping. I don't know. So apparently the flight crew they expressed concern that he was seriously ill. They tried to wake him up to fasten his seatbelt, and he was just, you know, coming in and out of consciousness, fearing that Odell was seriously ill and his condition would worsen through the 5-hour flight. They called the police and fire rescue. They asked Odell several times to exit the aircraft, which he refused, probably because he was like, hey, I was just sleeping, or like, hey, I think I'm good. The airplane was evacuated, and Odell finally got off the plane. Odell's agent said the entire incident was completely unnecessary. At no time was Odell disruptive or combative. He was willing to comply, but the flight attendant wanted to prove that he had the authority to have Mr. Beckham removed from the flight. And Odell said, never in my life have I experienced what just happened to me. I've seen it all.
Yeah, I mean, they said he was in and out of consciousness and, like, refusing to buckle his seat.
Is that worth calling the police?
I mean, I feel like if someone's refusing to buckle their seat, then you're like, yeah, they have to be kicked off of a plane.
Well, it sounds like, I don't know what really happened, like...
I mean, that's just like what they said. If the play, I mean, if
Odell,
actually,
apparently Odell was saying he was complying, which of course he's going to say that, I guess.
Yeah,
but.
I mean,
is that a guy you want in a Cowboys uniform, Andy?
Yeah, yeah, yes, for sure. The Thanksgiving Cowboys Giants was also the Odell Bowl. Who is Odell going to sign with? Winner.
He's
going to
come
to clear.
Didn't you hear Bussing with the Boys? My bad from the weekend. Couple different directions you could have gone. Honorable mention to the Mike White, Zach Wilson drama.
Zach Wilson looking like Anakin Skywalker.
Dude, it was
on
hilarious.
The sideline.
The fact that,
incredible.
Like, Elijah Moore was like happy and smiling, and you could hear teammates saying like "Free me" in the back, free him in the background of his press conference.
Wow.
Mike White throwing for like 300 something yards.
Yeah, he looked
Garrett
good.
Wilson going off, but no, my bad is it's Cincinnati football, not the Bengals. That was good, but the Bearcats, a very very very. Tough weekend for them. Friday, a game against Tulane with the opportunity to go to the American Conference Championship game and get themselves in position for a New Year's Six Bowl. About 30 minutes before kickoff, the quarterback gets ruled out. They lose to Tulane, and then about a day later, they lose their head coach as Luke Fickell, leaving Cincinnati to take the head coaching job at Wisconsin. Great hire for the Badgers, but Cincinnati now going to be looking for a head coach as they get ready to transition to the Big 12.
Mm.
I think they really felt like moving to a power conference was going to be able to keep Luke Fickell at the helm for at least a little while longer. And a program that's in a really good place right now, a huge hire to see if they can continue to remain relevant as you know they make this transition. Sam, you were ugly.
My ugly from the weekend, the Ohio State Buckeyes. I got a lot of stats here. Just a terrible performance by that Ohio State team. Not what you were expecting to see in the second half after watching that. You see that Ohio State team hold them to 10 yards rushing in the first half, and then they allow 240 rush yards in the second half, 10 yards a carry. I mean, just wild stuff that happened in that game. Really, I just didn't see it coming at all. I thought when Harbaugh kicked that field goal to keep it an 11-point game or something like that.
Going to be the turning point.
I thought that was the end of it. I thought that was the dumbest decision of all time, and I thought that Ohio State was going to come back and win. And Michigan just smacked them in the mouth, man. They looked like the more aggressive team, like they wanted it more, and in four seasons, Ryan Day has already lost more games to Michigan than Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer combined in 18 years.
Can't lose that game.
Tom Brady was a rookie in the NFL the last time Michigan beat Ohio State in back-to-back seasons.
Man. Tough.
Andy, the ugly?
Yes, the ugly. U.S. and Iran head-to-head on Tuesday
for the group.
Iran calls for the U.S. to be kicked out of the 2022 World Cup after their social media team changed the Iran flag on social media to show support for their protesters for what's currently going on domestically in Iran. So, the old Iran flag, I guess, has just the three lines with the colors of green, white, and red, but they've got a new flag that kind of has a new symbol on the middle. An emblem of the Islamic Republic. For 24 hours, the U.S. men's national team Twitter account posted a photo, and it had the group standings, and it had the old flag on there. Iran state media said, no good, U.S. should be kicked out of the World Cup for that. The U.S. said, we were doing this to show support for the women fighting in Iran for basic human rights, but always planned to go back to the original flag. They said it was a one-time graphic. Apparently, the manager, Greg Berhalter, said, hey, the team and the players had no part in this. We look forward to a peaceful, competitive match on the field. I don't know.
I'd heard nothing about
this. A little bit of chaos here.
Gosh, I hope we just run them off the field tomorrow.
So this is what Iran said. By posting a distorted image of the flag of the Islamic Republic of Iran on its official account, the U.S. football team breached the FIFA charter, for which a 10-game suspension is the appropriate penalty. Iran state-aligned news agency wrote on Twitter, Team USA should be kicked out of the World Cup. FIFA has not responded at this point. It doesn't appear that they're going to be kicked out of the FIFA World Cup, considering the match is tomorrow. It's a lot going on in Iran in general, so there's a little bit of chaos there, but now it's starting to leak into the soccer match on Tuesday.
Well, let's stick it to them and win by 7. How about that? My ugly from the weekend, Oregon football. Just an unbelievable display of garbage on Saturday as they blew a major lead halfway through the third quarter. And Oregon State, I don't know if you saw this, did not pass the football. Oregon State went down 31-10 with just 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Yeah, they were down 21. And from that point on, they did not throw a single pass, and they were able to come all the way back, scoring 4 touchdowns in the final, I guess, really 18 minutes of that football game, and coming back and winning the Civil War 38-34. And then after the game, as the Oregon State fans storm the field, an Oregon player was caught on video sucker punching an Oregon State fan. Not the first time we've seen that from Oregon, but Dan Lanning, man, he's going to have some questions now to answer after what looked like a really promising first season. You know, you got a player punching fans, and you've lost two out of your final three.
And your OC.
Yeah, and your offensive coordinator is heading to Arizona State. And you lost a chance to play in the Pac-12 title game as well, with Washington winning the Apple Cup. So that's my ugly. We got to catch the quickest break ever. We'll wrap up the show with Best Bet on the other side. Wrap it up with the show like we always do with a little Best Bet. It's been a while. See if we can get on a little heater here after the week off. Sam, what's your best bet?
Let's keep it simple tonight. I'm going to go with the Colts -2.5. I feel like this is a good spot for this Colts team to get a win against a struggling Steelers team. We doing a single game parlay? Do I need to make a leg for that?
I don't think we have time. Okay. We'll just have a best bet and call it a day.
I'm going to go Colts -2.5.
Colts -2.5, your best bet. I like that. I like that a lot. I just remember what my ugly was going to be. There's just too many bads and uglies, I feel like, from the weekend. I forgot to even mention Villanova basketball just collapsing right now. And Kyle Neptune's first year, not good there. Not good at all. Anyway, your best bet, Andy?
Michael Pittman, anytime touchdown tonight for the Colts. He hasn't caught one since week one. I think he's due tonight. I think he's due.
Okay.
Probably pretty good odds, I'm sure.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably like plus like 140, something around there, I bet. Maybe a little bit more than that.
Maybe.
My best bet for today, we've been doing it all World Cup long. We're going to do it again. I mean, even this game right now that's currently ongoing is 0-0 at half. We're going to take Portugal and Uruguay to draw at at plus 225 odds. We're just betting draws all World Cup. That's what we do.
There's been a lot of
draws.
You
don't have to watch it. Just hope at the end it's tied. Those are the rules. So today at 2 o'clock, Portugal, Uruguay, neither team wins.
Portugal.
Soccer. Well, that'll wrap it up for us today. Sorry I was late. Good to be back after a week off. We'll have an entire show with all three of us here tomorrow ready to roll for you. Same time, same place. But, hey, we appreciate you tuning in. Thank you for listening. Hope you have a great rest of your day. John Reed, Cody McClure, Talk Sports. They're up next. Stay locked in to Fan Run Radio.